Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that you just continue to watch over us. Help us remember that you are the reason for the season and for the blessings that you give us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isaiah said that the Lord spoke to the king and said, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But when the king refused, God would not be stopped. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." God wants us to know, even when we aren't sure ourselves. God wants us to experience God's presence, even when we think we can handle life on our own. God sends us signs of God's presence with us. As we need to do, all we need to do is keep our eyes open and look. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. We light these candles, the candle of joyous hope, of proclaimed peace, of deep everlasting joy, and today of presence that speaks of love, as a sign that no matter our circumstance, we know we are not alone.
Peace on earth and mercy mild, God. In the song, "What Child Is This?", the wise men bring gifts to honor the King of Kings. We put a lot of time and effort when we give gifts to those we love. Often we ask them to make a list so we know what would please them. But stop and consider, what are you going to give Jesus this year? Well, after all, his birth is what we're celebrating. Here are some ideas from his list. Love others. John 3:13-34. Are you showing love even to the unlovable? Obey me. John 14:15. Obey him in all things, especially the small things. Ask him to show you where you need correcting and give him the gift of sincere effort to obey him. Forgive others. Matthew 6:14-15. It blesses the Father when we give as we have been forgiven. As you sing, "What Child Is This?", determine in your heart what gift you will bring to honor the King.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Whew. I want to start this morning by just welcoming our guests and stuff that are here. And for those of you joining us online and on the radio, we're glad that you could be with us as well. Before we get into this morning's service, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise, to worship you, to honor you. Father, as we come together and prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, I ask that you just continue to soften the hardest of hearts and that we keep looking to you throughout this Christmas season, remembering what the purpose of your Son Jesus was. Father, as I prepare to give this message today, may it be your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it is hard to believe Christmas is a week away. Santa is going to be in the sleigh within 6 days. It's going to be an interesting time. It's going to be an opportunity for sure to get together with friends and family. And, you know, this last Friday, I went out to Walmart and other places to do some grocery shopping. And it was packed. The amount of people that were out and about was crazy. And I'm like, I just need a couple things for the house. You know, everyone was running around and trying to get those last minute Christmas gifts. And they're trying to get that last thing on their list that they may not gotten yet. And I know for some people that last minute shopping is the key to the season. Yet with all of these people running around in Walmart, you guys won't believe it. There was only one cashier line open. And it kind of surprised me a little, not really. People are trying to also not only get their gifts, but they're trying to make sure that they have food as well. You know, how many of you guys got your food stocked up, you're ready, so forth, for the Christmas parties, for the family gatherings? And you know, the most amazing thing I saw, though, even with only one cashier line, with all those people around, no one was pushing and shoving. People were being kind. They were being courteous. I saw people wish each other a Merry Christmas, talk to each other while they were in the checkout line. I always find Christmas such an interesting time of year when it comes to that, on how people interact and treat each other. You know, for the most part, it seems like Christmas brings out the good in people. Don't get me wrong, it can bring out the bad in some people as well. There's always a Grinch somewhere in the mix, no matter what. But for the most part, it really does seem to bring out the good in society around us. We see people willing to work together to help each other out. We help see them help out strangers. The whole goodwill towards men, you know, seems to be a common theme throughout Christmas. During Christmas time, you see food kitchens and homeless shelters more or less not having to worry about volunteers showing up. There seems to be plenty of people, particularly during this season, who step up, even if they do forget about it for the rest of the year. Christmas is clearly that time of year that seems to get people to start to think about other people. During this time of year, the food pantries get an abundance of donations, both with food and money, more so than any other time of the year. We need to remember that they do need help through the entire year as well. Have you ever noticed how many more donation boxes and little cans are out this time as well? As you're walking around, they're all over the place. It just seems to put people in a giving mood. It's also this time of year more than any other that seems to bring out the best in people no matter what. It seems to bring out the peace in the world around us. And during Christmas is also the time people seem to think about Jesus more than any other time. And the idea of Jesus, even people who don't go to church, even people who don't identify as Christians, think about Jesus during this time. Then again, whenever we think of a little baby, doesn't it help but put a smile on your face when you get to see that little toddler, that little bitty baby, when they're still listening and can cry and sleep and not running around in terror. How many of you guys have heard of the Christmas truce? Have you ever heard of the Christmas truce that occurred on Christmas of 1914? The Christmas truce, for those who don't know, occurred during World War I. It was the very first Christmas since the war began. Many soldiers there were fighting, and they thought the fighting would be extremely short-lived. They did not expect to be fighting come Christmas Day. World War I was an extremely brutal war. It had a lot of trench warfare where people dug down trenches where they would hide in between, and there would be like this no man's land between them. So you'd have a group over here, you would have a group over here. They would be shelling each other, and they would be shooting at anything that popped up. It was long, it was hard, and it was a ton of casualties. Yet there still was this odd moments of joy and hope that would pop up even in those trenches. And one of the most remarkable came during that very first Christmas. For a brief hours, which men from both sides of the Western Front laid down their guns and emerged from the trenches, shared food, Christmas carols, games, and friendliness to each other. Can you imagine that? You have just been shooting at each other for weeks, months ahead of time, and now you are gathering together. Their truce, the famous Christmas truce, was an unofficial truce. Many officers disapproved. The headquarters on both sides took strong steps to make sure that it would never happen again. It's reported that the first signs that something strange was happening on that Christmas was actually at 8:30 p.m. Christmas Eve. An officer from the Royal Irish Rifles reported to headquarters, "Germans have illuminated their trenches and are singing songs and wishing us a Merry Christmas." Compliments started to be exchanged along different points in the line, and the two sides started singing Christmas carols to each other. First, the Germans sang Silent Night, and the British responded with singing the First Noel. That had to be a sight to see in the middle of all of this fighting. Slowly they emerged and met in the middle, exchanging different gifts that they had on them. A message was sent back and forth saying if one side didn't fire on them, they wouldn't fire on the other. This didn't just happen in one little spot either. It happened up and down in different spots across the line. There's even some rumors that there was a soccer game played in one spot between the German and the British troops. The German troops still claim they won 3-2. I'm hoping that the British got it. There's no official report on that, by the way. That's just rumors. But just how widespread was this truce, it's hard for us to say. It wasn't everywhere. We know that there was plenty of accounts of fighting still going on that Christmas Day. There were still people who got killed on that Christmas Day. But yet for some, they got a moment of peace, even in the middle of that war. It really was a Christmas miracle. All this goodwill and kindness makes sense when we look back on what we're celebrating this time of year. We're celebrating the birth of our Messiah. We're celebrating the coming of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're celebrating Jesus, also known as God in flesh, taking the form of man and living among us. And that's something for us to celebrate. That's something to look forward to and to look back on what he did. On Isaiah 9:6, it tells us, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, the government will be on his shoulders, he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." Jesus is that child that is born to us. He is God's Son that became flesh and was given to each of us. Everything in this world is on his shoulders. Jesus is our counselor. He walks with us even in the deepest moments of trouble. In the red letters of the Bible, it tells us that he and the Father are one, Jesus and God himself, and he is our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He brought about that peace with us. Within all of us. When we seek Christ, we experience a new kind of peace that cannot be brought about in any other way. You know, one thing I've discovered over my time is like when you share the gospel with someone, when someone first comes to Jesus, there's this overwhelming sense of calmness about them that they have never seemed to have experienced before. They explain this peace that comes through them, and that is through Christ and Christ alone that we get that. In Colossians 1, verses 19 through 20, it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," him being Jesus. In verse 20, it says, "And through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Today, what our focus is going to be, and the message, is the Prince of Peace, also known as Christ. Our Savior. He's the one that brings us that peace this time of year, that peace about people helping each other that we talked about in the beginning, that peace about the Christmas truce that occurred. That comes through our Savior Jesus alone. And he's the one who brings that to us. Now, when we think of peace, we have many different ways that we think about it, especially when we think it through our cultural lens, through our Western eyes. At Christmas time, we think of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. I mean, we've got that saying, we've got songs, we've got everything that goes with that. Yet when we look around the world and all the events and everything going on in our own times, we don't always observe peace now, do we? At least not on how we think of the word peace. Just flip over onto the news in the evening. There seems to be no peace. We see all the different wars going on around the world. Not just fighting from one country to another either, but we see communities fighting, we see families fighting, friendships fighting, and things coming to an end, neighbors yelling at each other, screaming at each other. We have Putin right now parading around his big missiles and stuff and making his threats. It's hard to see peace at a time like this, isn't it? It's hard to imagine a moment of peace. Making peace, one of these things that many of us desire but have a hard time fully grasping. Before we get too far into the term peace, we need to define it. You know, here in America, in our Western world, the term peace has been clearly connected with the idea of absence of conflict. It's the idea that there is no disagreements, there's no war, there's no any of that. That's where we get to. The Oxford Dictionary defines it even as freedom from disturbances or tranquility. Tranquility, that sounds nice. It's like one of those fun little words to use. During different wars and different times, we've had protesters or pacifists. You know, during the Vietnam War, we had the people that they called the peaceniks. We had the protesting the wars, and we've had people calling for peace in the Middle East for years, wanting the U.S. to withdraw from Afghanistan. Peace in our world is often connected to quiet time, no wars, no arguments. I think for some of you parents, you can even say peace in your house is when the kids are sleeping and you get to relax because there is no wars, no arguments, no disagreements. Basically, peace is defined by what it is not in our culture. If there is no war, then there is peace. If no one is yelling, then there is peace. And the Holman Bible Dictionary defines peace as a condition or a sense of harmony, well-being, and prosperity. The biblical concept means more than the absence of hostility and war. And it's more than just a psychological state of mind. It's more than just being able to get up Christmas morning with our kids without our kids yelling and screaming. Now we turn over to the Old Testament and we look back on that passage in Isaiah that I just mentioned from earlier, where it talks about the coming Messiah and how he will be the Prince of Peace. That's our focus for today. What does it mean for Jesus to be that Prince of Peace? How at Christmas are we celebrating the coming of the Prince of Peace? We see the word peace, and we go back to our definition, our cultural idea of peace. But when we look up the word peace there in Isaiah, is a Hebrew word that is used, and it's shalom. The Hebrew word is shalom. The word shalom has such a great meaning and has so much more meaning than just what we conceive as the word peace. It means much more than the absence of war. You see, the word shalom is considered one of the most predominant theological concepts in the Old Testament. The word itself is used over 180 times throughout the Old Testament. It is often used in the form of a greeting as well as a goodbye. And it's still used to this day. You go to Israel, you will find that word used often in their welcoming of others and saying goodbye to others. See, the word shalom takes on several meanings. Shalom does mean peace. It does mean peace in the sense of a lack of war. That is one of the things. But it also means wholeness. It also means completeness. The verb form of the word shalom also means to repay or fulfill a vow. It is used often to refer to building relationships and repairing relationships. When the word shalom is used with the idea of worshiping God and having a relationship with God, it means to be in harmony with Him, to enjoy God's peace, that peace that comes through Christ alone. We really don't have a good word in our English language for the word shalom. We really don't, because there's so much behind it. You know, if we go back to that passage in Isaiah and we reread it, but let's reread it this way: for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, the government will be on his shoulders, he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and the Prince of Shalom. Think about that for a second. The Prince that makes us whole. The Prince that fulfills the vow that God gave us. The Prince that restores mankind to the God the Father. The Prince that builds that bridge between God and man. The Prince who restores our relationships with God. The Prince who helps us live in harmony with God. That's what we're celebrating on Christmas. When we say the Prince of Peace is coming, it's so much more than just a word. It's God's shalom. We are saying that God's shalom is coming down to this earth. His completeness, his goodness, everything positive about him is coming here. It's his restoration plan. And it's our harmony with him. You know, so when we look through and how Jesus is that Prince of Peace, using the definition that we just looked at, and we look at that, all of it, I think there's several different ways that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There are several ways that he fulfills that role. To start with, he's the one who makes peace between God and man, like we said. You know, in Romans 5, 1 through 11, it tells us, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by our faith into his grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions because we know that the affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proved his love for us that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have been made justified by his blood, will be saved through him from our wrath. For if while that we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. It's a clear reminder that Jesus comes to restore us. He came to restore each one of us into the loving Father's hands. You know, in Ephesians 2:13, it also tells us, for now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He is our shalom, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostilities in this flesh. Jesus came to proclaim the good news of God's shalom to each of us, no matter where we are in life. It doesn't matter if we're Jew, Gentile. It doesn't matter what our past is or what mistakes we've made. Jesus came to make a way for all of us. He wasn't just here for one group of people or for the people who live a well enough life. Jesus came this Christmas season for you and I, the sinners among sinners, the worst of the worst. That's who he came for. He came to bring a peace that we can't understand often, one that we struggle with to accept freely. And we know that Jesus is that Prince of Peace. He makes that peace in our life possible because of his saving work. In John 16, 32 to 33, it says, "Indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to this home and he will leave alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." It's a reminder that no matter what we face in life, that we can rest on God's shalom. That we can rest in the fact that our Heavenly Father is right there watching over us. We're never alone. We're never required to face this world alone. And God is always with us. And I bet many of you guys know this next passage, Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and the minds of Christ Jesus." We know that when Jesus comes again, he will complete that peace perfectly. There will be no more tears, no more pain. None of those things we'll have to worry about anymore when he comes back. May we thank God for his shalom this Christmas season. May we thank him for what he gave us in his son. And may we remember that though we do have the child that's coming, the promise, the ones that Joseph and Mary had to give in a very, very unsanitary location, she had to give birth in that manger. But may we just remember what he came for. It isn't just for us to think of that, but he came to be God's shalom, to bring that peace on earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your shalom. We thank you for everything that it represents and the peace and the completeness and the wholeness that you've given us through it. Father, may we continue to count our blessings. May we continue to search after you. May we remember what this season's for. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just in nature, just in nature, just in nature.
May God bless you as you go out this week. May he make his face shine upon you, and may he give you rest. May you have fun this Christmas week as well as you travel, spend time with family, be safe, and remember you're loved. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.